It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today, we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including veteran law enforcement official named Phoenix police chief, neighbors rally against city over mini preserve, new Korean eatery offers more than corn dogs, rays of hope for Valley home sellers emerge, city manager Rosa Inkowski wins prestigious public service award, and more. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Veteran law enforcement official named Phoenix police chief, by Paul Mariniak. After a lengthy search that produced two sets of finalists, Phoenix finally has a permanent police chief for the first time in 3 years. City manager Jeffrey Barton last week announced that Matt Giordano will take the helm at the department, which had been led by interim chief Michael Sullivan since former chief Jerry Williams left in 2022. His salary and start time were not disclosed. Sullivan was in the first round of three finalists, but abruptly took himself out of the running for Phoenix's top cop. He has since been named chief of the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. Giordano, who retired from the Phoenix Police Force as a commander after 20 years on the job, is the executive director of the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, or AZ Post. AZ Post establishes minimum qualifications for peace officers in Arizona, develops and maintains training standards, certifies law enforcement training facilities, and handles disciplinary cases involving certified peace officers. In his new job, he instantly has a longtime colleague on city council in Kevin Robinson, who not only served on the Phoenix Force for 36 years, but also has a seat on the AZ Post Board of Directors. Without a doubt, I know he will, with his extensive involvement in the community, serve the citizens of Phoenix and the women and men of the Phoenix Police Department well, said Robinson, who chairs City Council's Public Safety and Justice Subcommittee. I believe that being an exceptional communicator is the most important skill in law enforcement. Matt Giordano has made many stops throughout his career, working with nearly every community in Phoenix, and has done a great job at each stop interacting with that diversity of neighborhoods, he added. Giordano, who served as executive chief of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department between his Phoenix and AZ Post stints, is a respected leader with deep knowledge of policing in Phoenix, and he has earned a reputation for integrity, accountability, and building trust, Barton said. Thanking Acting Chief Dennis Orender for leading the department after Sullivan left, Mayor Kate Gallego said, Chief Giordano has a deep understanding of law enforcement and Phoenix, as well as the skills and experience to lead our great department. I look forward to working with him to keep our city safe and continue the reforms instituted by City Council. Vice Mayor Ann O'Brien said in a statement, I'm excited to welcome Chief Giordano back to Phoenix. There was no better choice than someone who truly understands the issues Phoenix faces and the continuous improvements the council is committed to. I look forward to working with Chief Giordano as he works towards making the meaningful changes instituted by the City Council, designed to keep our officers and community safe and strengthen trust. Giordano will take charge of a department at a time when it has been a lightning rod for criticism, especially among Black and Latino communities, for officers' alleged civil rights violations. While the Trump administration discarded a highly critical report the Biden Department of Justice issued last year against Phoenix police, recent city council budget hearings showed a deep animosity toward the city police force. But Barton's announcement said community leaders are also showing their support of the decision to hire Giordano. While the department is out from under the threat of direction by a costly outside agency that could have resulted from the now rescinded DOJ report, City Council and the department have instituted dozens of reforms affecting the training and operation of Phoenix police officers. Those ongoing reforms, however, have failed to quell critics who railed against the department's $1 billion budget in the new fiscal year. Despite such public criticism, however, Barton added his selection of Giordano reflects what we heard from residents, officers, and community stakeholders. Matt Giordano is a respected leader with deep knowledge of policing in Phoenix, and he has earned a reputation for integrity, accountability, and building trust. Matt Giordano understands that strong public safety starts with strong community relationships. Barton quoted Ruben Alvarez, CEO of the Latino Leaders Network, as saying, "We are encouraged by his commitment to transparency, accountability, and meaningful engagement with all of Phoenix's diverse communities," Alvarez said. "This is an opportunity to build greater trust and ensure every resident feels seen, heard, and protected." Barton's announcement also quoted Dennis Eckerd, longtime Community Block Watch chairman, as stating, "Matt Giordano understands the need for change and the importance of collaboration. He listens and he leads with integrity." Phoenix Law Enforcement Association, PLEA, President Daryl Kripline said his organization supported Giordano's appointment. "While challenges remain in rebuilding internal trust and restoring morale, we're hopeful that this new chapter will bring renewed focus and direction," he said. "We look forward to meeting with Chief Giordano soon to engage in open dialogue about the pressing concerns facing our officers and the path forward." District 8 Councilwoman Keisha Hodge Washington, a former Assistant State Attorney General, said, "Giordano will help define the future of policing in Phoenix and shape the legacy of how our city ensures justice, safety, and accountability." Councilwoman Laura Pastor said she expects Giordano to engage with the community, address the challenges outlined in the DOJ report, and pursue meaningful change. "We have a long road ahead to rebuild trust through stronger oversight, equitable practices, and constitutional policing," Pastor said. Likewise, Councilwoman Betty Guardado said, "I urge Chief Giordano to build upon the reforms already underway by the city and to maintain an open dialogue with residents when navigating difficult decisions. His leadership signifies a new chapter for both our city and police department, presenting us with an incredible opportunity for significant progress together." That was veteran law enforcement official named police chief. Our next article, neighbors rally against city over mini preserve, also by Paul Mariniak. A fusillade of emails from homeowners in a little Ahwatukee neighborhood called The Cove has changed city street department's plans to start landscaping, and a strip of trees and brush, they contend, has been a harmless mini preserve for desert wildlife for 40 years. Located on a small, hilly area at the base of South Mountain, the strip of greenery runs perpendicular to South 44th Street and South 43rd Place between houses fronting East Monty Way and East Vaughn Drive. "It has been a beloved, beautiful natural garden and habitat to wildlife, including a family of javelinas, rabbits, and quail that neighbors say have used the undisturbed parcel for safety and breeding." In May, Street Transportation Department WASH Maintenance Coordinator Roger Fife notified homeowners the department planned 5 days of work in July, removing trash, dead vegetation, and trimming trees as needed. "Any trees that might potentially cause damage to fences will also be removed," he wrote. Homeowners whose backyards back into the area are so passionate about its natural beauty that one in 2016 stood in the path of a city bulldozer that was brought out to clear the area. The neighbor won the standoff. Neighbors say the city incorrectly designated the strip of pristine desert as a wash. Some neighbors say they've been told the city wants to take action to prevent flooding, while another has been told an unidentified neighbor complained about the vegetation. "There has never been a flooding issue in that parcel," one homeowner said. Indeed, that neighborhood and strip of green is not mentioned in the exhaustive study the Maricopa County Flood Control District performed 10 years ago that identified 40 Ahwatukee areas as potential flooding areas in the event of a 100-year flood. Neighbor David Ledbetter wrote Fife earlier this month expressing skepticism about the flooding rationale. "We just don't get floods in this area," he wrote. "Additionally, if we did happen to get one, removing underbrush and plants increases erosion and flooding. We need as many plants and vegetation as possible, not just here but all over Phoenix, to help prevent flooding. It seems to me that the city should use this money to consider investing in more plants and vegetation in areas that might be prone to flooding. Asked about the street transportation plans, Senior Public Information Officer John Treiweiler said a request was initiated by a resident for something to be done with the mini preserve. Treiweiler last week said in an email, plans for the area are to have city environmental staff evaluate the area for protected wildlife species and make a recommendation on their findings. Asked if the department would listen to the neighbors and not disrupt the wildlife habitat, he replied, following an evaluation by the environmental team, the city will then decide on proper maintenance for the area. A study was not in the cards initially, according to neighbors. They said the department planned to clear 3 to 4 feet of brush around the area where water flows and possibly a few feet up each side, while removing dead plants and debris. One neighbor recalled the effort in 2016 to clear-cut the area and said it didn't make sense then and doesn't make sense now. Recalling how the workers demolished decades worth of trees and vegetation growth, he said the work threatened a beautiful natural habitat which is in perfect visual harmony with the majestic South Mountain Preserve. As for flooding, he worried that in the rare times water does flow, the absence of vegetation would lead an unsightly erosion of soil. There also appears to be some mystery surrounding whoever complained in the first place, as one neighbor said that when they asked the landscaping crew in 2016 if it had asked neighboring homeowners what they preferred to be done, they said they had not done this. They then packed up and abandoned their landscaping. One homeowner, who was so infuriated that the city would spend money on a project that could adversely affect local wildlife, contacted the Arizona Game and Fish Department. But Game and Fish Senior Urban Wildlife Specialist Darren Julian told her his department could not get involved. Surmising the proposed work likely had to do with fire breaks and clearing fuel that could lead to bigger fire problems, Jillian said his department could only get involved if the area was a critical habitat for critically endangered species. While some homeowners consider the area a critical habitat, they conceded it's not likely a home for endangered species. Nonetheless, they're now pressing the Street Transportation Department for a meeting to discuss the work and do a thorough study of the creatures that call the mini preserve home. They're also seeking the intervention of Councilman Kevin Robinson, though they say they haven't yet heard from his office. But the neighbors don't plan on giving up, as Ledbetter wrote the city. In a city of several million people, this area is a rare place where wildlife can be safe, feel safe, and not be disturbed. That was Neighbors Rally Against City Over Mini Preserve. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. New Korean Eatery Offers More Than Corn Dogs by Jerry Capel. Questions swirled around the closure of an Ahwatukee Foothills Korean corn dog restaurant after a sign revealed it would become another Korean corn dog restaurant. The former Crispy Dogs on East Chandler Boulevard and South 32nd Street near Dutch Brothers Coffee closed on May 11th. And officially reopened on June 26 as Korean Dogs and Breakfast. As this name suggests, it still sells the popular battered dogs on a stick, but now includes all-day breakfast and lunch. Owner Sockley Chamroon invested in and co-owned the previous business with his nephew, Shamong Som, who ran it for almost 2 years. Chamroon now runs the restaurant with manager Celine Yen of Tempe. Chamroon and Som decided to close Crispy Dogs because it wasn't generating the revenue they expected, but Chamroon hopes it will be successful now that he's expanded the menu. Korean Dogs and Breakfast offers a wider variety of real fruit smoothies for $6.49, as well as glazed donuts for $1.69 and donut holes for $1.99 a dozen, and breakfast and lunch sandwiches on croissants and bagels from $4.99 and $7.99, all made in-house. It also has a new cooler with a large beverage selection, including canned and bottled teas, milk, coconut water, juice, soft drinks, and energy drinks. "I want people to know we're back with new stuff," Yen said, adding they serve breakfast and lunch all day. However, she confirmed the hours will remain 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. The restaurant still sells spring rolls $5.98 to $6.48, meat and rice plates for $11.99, kimchi fries for $5.79, and boba tea for $4.75, and now offers iced and hot coffee and Vietnamese coffee from $3.99 to $4.75. Greg Lang of Ahwatukee, who lives down the street from Korean Dogs and Breakfast, has been to the earlier incarnation several times. He stopped in for lunch after the reopening and said, "I got the lemongrass chicken lunch plate. I was happy to see they didn't really take anything away from the menu, but it was good to see they added some different areas like the sandwiches." Lang added that now, if you're not craving Korean food or Korean corn dogs, you can go there. He also noted the donuts are a nice addition. Chamroon is proud of his high-quality, light, airy donuts. "We buy the quality dough," he said, "and make them fresh every day." Yen said many Cambodians own donut shops because they're hard workers and donuts are hard work. You have to wake up at midnight, 10 or 11 p.m., and you work until 6 to 7 a.m. Some owners have to stay until evening. After immigrating to the United States from Cambodia in 2008, Chamroon worked in the mobile home industry before learning the donut business at a chain. He combined his building skills and donut expertise to open his own shop, Arizona Donut Company, in Tempe in 2013 and sold it in 2022. Chamroon also mentioned that he owns the strip mall that houses Korean Dogs and Breakfast and said other spaces are available. Yen said they decided to take over the business and expand the menu because no place in the immediate vicinity offered breakfast foods. Additionally, Chamroon said he thinks donuts will be a hit with high school students who hang out after school. However, they noted that the Korean dogs continue to be a bestseller. They have six types: a classic corn dog with sugar, ketchup, mustard, and house-made spicy mayo, a potato dog topped with crispy potato cubes, a hot Cheeto dog, a crispy dog coated in rice corn, a plain panko-coated dog, and a churro dog with cinnamon sugar. Fillings include a beef hot dog, melted cheese or half and half, and toppings can be customized. Dogs are $4.49 to $6.19, and a free drink is included with the purchase of five. Yen, who immigrated to the United States from Cambodia in 2009, said they might eventually offer Cambodian food, but we'll wait and see how this is going first. However, they're already catering to Asian customers with the addition of more real fruit smoothies, including ones with jackfruit and durian, the latter of which is popular throughout Asia, but has a pungent smell that most Americans aren't used to. "Asian people, they know it," Chamroon said. "They give it the name, King of the Fruit. That fruit is very expensive, and it smells very strong." That was New Korean Eatery offers more than corn dogs. Our next article, Rays of Hope for Valley Home Sellers Emerge, by Paul Mariniak. A leading analyst of the Valley's housing market has shed a few rays of hope on frustrated sellers who've been watching an ever-rising inventory of homes for sale since the beginning of the year. The Cromford Report initially said this month, though the changes were small, there was good news for sellers on both supply and demand compared to last month. "We saw a significant number of cancellations and expirations at the end of the second quarter, meaning we have less supply as the start of the third quarter." It said July 3rd listings under contract are up compared to a year ago as buyers react to a slight reduction in mortgage rates, it continued. "This is genuine good news. They may also be reacting to falling asking prices as buyers inject more realism into their listings." It said closed prices in June dipped sharply from May in terms of the average square foot price, and are now slightly lower than last year. The good news on supply and demand is welcome, the Cromford Report said, noting that its valley-wide index for determining whether the market is tilting towards sellers and buyers is significantly tipped against the trying to unload a house. Using various sets of sales trend data, the Cromford Market Index rates valley communities on a scale where 100 indicates a balanced market and anything above favors sellers, while the further below 100 indicates a buyer's market. With a valley-wide average of 72, the Cromford Report suggested current trends in supply and demand could continue and drive that rating up. However, it warned, the increased demand is fragile and might disappear if mortgage rates head back up towards 7% again. Also, the reduction in supply is largely due to sellers giving up, which is not as positive a sign as increased closing rates. Many of these expired and canceled listings are likely to come back again in the fourth quarter, although we know of several that have been converted to rental listings instead. Homes are getting cheaper relative to everything else, the Cromford Report said. At some point, especially if interest rates also make a move lower, then demand could see a nice recovery. Home ownership is still very desirable. While it reported last week that the week of July 6 was another week when the market got less favorable for sellers, it added, the trend has low momentum and looks likely to reverse next week. Nevertheless, of the 17 valley submarkets it monitors, the Cromford Report said 4 have improved for sellers over the last month: Paradise Valley, Cave Creek, Goodyear, and Glendale, while the other 13 have improved for buyers over the last month. It called Avondale and Fountain Hills the front runners in this direction. The report said cities with the most luxury homes are going gangbusters for sellers because rising prices in places like Scottsdale generally outperform the rest of the valley. On the other hand, it said, cities dominated by the mid-range have struggled to stay above water, while those with more entry-level housing are usually faring less well for sellers. As with all listings, there are exceptions to the rule, but the weakest part of the market is the low end, while the strongest remains the highest price sectors, it added. That was Rays of Hope for Valley Home Sellers Emerge. We go now to the Tempe Newsroom. City Manager Rosa Inkowski wins prestigious public service award. Tempe Manager Rosa Inkowski received a Gabe Zimmerman Public Service Award on July 17th from Center for the Future of Arizona. The Gabe Zimmerman Public Service Awards, named after the community outreach director whose life was taken in a mass shooting in 2011 at the Congress of Your Corner event, are a collaborative effort between CFA, the Zimmerman family, and Arizona City and County Managers Associations. They highlight the role of non-elected public servants in solving problems and making a tangible difference in people's lives. The Gabe Zimmerman Public Service Awards celebrate the public servants who are critical to Arizona's continued success, said Dr. Sybil Francis, CFA Chair, President, and CEO. Their work is the backbone of effective governance and community well-being. By honoring their dedication and impact, we hope others are inspired to elevate the value of public service in building the Arizona we want. Center for the Future of Arizona presented Rosa with the Community Builder Award for Large Cities. The award recognizes people who advance community pride and connection and show transformative leadership skills. According to Center for the Future of Arizona, as Tempe's first female city manager, Rosa has driven innovation and equity across city operations, leading efforts in public health, data-driven governance, and anti-discrimination policy. Her trailblazing career exemplifies a lifelong commitment to equity, innovation, and excellence in local government. Rosa Inkowski exemplifies responsive, community-driven leadership, said Mayor Corey Woods. She genuinely cares about the people of Tempe, both the community and the city employees, and leads with empathy and integrity. She also strives to find new and better ways to resolve some of the nation's most difficult issues. Tempe is fortunate to have her as our city manager. Nominees were judged on the following criteria: how they have changed the way government works to serve the public interest, their ability to take risks and inspire others, their impact on connecting Arizonans to civic life, improving the health of their community, implementing new ideas to reduce costs, improve efficiency, and enhance the delivery of public services, and their legacy contributions of lasting significance. Rosa has worked at the City of Tempe for over 32 years, and prior to becoming city manager, she served as the city's chief deputy manager, overseeing the areas of economic development, community health and human services, community development, information technology, and strategic management and innovation. Rosa's visionary leadership exemplifies innovation, resilience, and a deep commitment to creating a thriving, healthy, and historically rich Tempe. Some of her accomplishments include authoring the city's first diversity guidelines, working with city council to pass the state's first city-chartered anti-discrimination ordinance, heading Tempe's first diversity and first strategic management and innovation offices, pioneering the use of wastewater science during COVID-19, leading the city to achieve Bloomberg Platinum certification for excellence in excellence for data-driven, well-managed local government, and implementing Tempe's real-time operations center. Center for the Future of Arizona brings Arizonans together to create a stronger and brighter future for our state. We listen to Arizonans to learn what matters most to them, share trusted data about how Arizona is doing in those priority areas, bring critical issues to public attention, and work with communities and leaders to solve public problems. That was City Manager Rosa Inkowski wins prestigious public service award. And finally, an update on this week's Mill Avenue closure. The closure between University Drive and 7th Street is scheduled to reopen on Saturday. The closure allowed for the installation of foundations that will soon support the Mill Avenue Gateway sign, a signature feature of the downtown Tempe refresh project. The sign will arch across the roadway, creating a bold new entrance for visitors coming to downtown Tempe. The downtown Tempe refresh is the first major infrastructure project for this area in 40 years. Work includes new electrical lines, a new irrigation system, new and wider brick sidewalks with artistic treatments, new paving, and 112 new trees, and 26 ficus trees saved. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.